Turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms. We'll be in Psalm 46 this morning. Psalm 46, I'd like to read about the first five verses. I will ask you, if you would stand, if you're able to, if you're willing to. I've heard it said, stand and stretch your legs. That's never why I ask anybody to stand. We stand for respect and reverence for the Word of God. And we'll read here as the psalmist writes in Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried away into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God's in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. Lord, this morning I pray you, Lord, be not only with me, Lord, but with all of your sons and daughters here. Lord, I pray that you would help us. Lord, you know us. You know who we are and where we are, Lord. And I have nothing to offer of ourselves to offer up to you by reason of why. But I just ask you of your own favor and your own goodness, Lord, that you would look down upon us and help us this morning. These things we pray, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. This is a rare thing for me. I've known all week what I would preach if I was called. That's a rare thing for me. I've got a lot of things, as do all of you who preach, that I have come across my path that I must preach. It's all part of the whole counsel of God. But Brother Neil, do you know what my favorite subjects are to preach? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Amen. If I can this morning, I don't have far that I want to go. And when I reach my subject, I want to preach on there is a river. When I reach my subject, I probably won't preach long. It's going to take me just a few minutes to get there. Y'all bear with me. I want to look at this as the psalmist begins writing. And he's writing in a time of trouble. Writing in a time of trouble. Look at verses 2 and 3 and you'll see something about this trouble. You'll see there he speaks of mountains and he speaks of the sea and he speaks of the swelling of the waters. And it's generally agreed, and I agree as well, that he's speaking beyond the natural. And don't get me wrong, natural troubles are troubles. If you've lived through a tornado or a hurricane or an earthquake, you know it's trouble. And I'm not trying to speak little of those things. But he's speaking of something greater than just the winds blowing. He's speaking of something of turmoil going on that's troubling the whole land and not just himself. When he speaks of these mountains in particular, he's looking at kings and rulers that are being shaken. And as Brother Hewitt's brought out, the sea is usually a picture and a type of the world. At this time, it was the Gentile world. And so he's talking about how these mountains and princes are being carried away, and the Gentiles are carrying away kings and princes. And he's talking about the swelling of the waters. The Jordan River swelled every year. And the people were familiar with this in this language. And as it swelled, all the beasts, the dangerous beasts, the lions and everything would come out from where they were down by the banks. And it was a dangerous time. Yeah. And so he's speaking of troubles. And if you will, he's speaking of, for lack of a better word, political troubles. Political troubles. And listen, I know that in all of my life, I've never seen a time that didn't have political troubles. As a matter of fact, I think politics are really the art of trouble. And that's all it seems to be about is trouble. Yes, sir. And if all you'll put your heart on is politics, all you're going to have is a world of trouble.
That's right. Amen.
Now listen now, I want to put this in the right perspective. Because just like you, I've also struggled with how much I ought to pay attention to the things of this world. Now, this is a little aside, but I think it's worth covering. Kings, when they were born as little children and born princes, and they grew into being a king, had no choice about the fact they were born a king. And they had no choice about their duties they were given. What they had a choice about was whether they would be godly or ungodly. And they could fulfill their duties or not. Now, you and I were not born in the times of kings. But without our consent, without our consultation, our forefathers and our ancestors decided that the rights and responsibilities of king would rest on us. And whether you like it or whether you don't doesn't matter. You and I have been given the responsibility of ruling this country. And the people in Washington are not rulers. They're your hirelings. And you do have a duty, and I do have a duty, to see what's going on enough so that we can figure out whether or not to hire or fire that bunch of hirelings we got up there. So I realize you have some responsibility to keep track with what's going on in this world. You understand?
Sure.
So I'm not counseling you to stick your head in the sand and ignore what's going on. I simply counsel you not to put your heart in it.
Amen.
The powers that be are still ordained of God, and God's still in control.
Amen.
And that's what the psalmist is starting us off with. I haven't got to where I want to go. I'm going to get to there is a river. But I've just got to make sure you're in the right place first. He speaks of these troubles that are going. That's why verse 1 sets the tone it sets. That's why verse 1 speaks about how God is our refuge and strength, is because that the psalmist knows it's a time of trouble, and he's trying to make sure the children of God understand that, look, God's our refuge. It's not the political parties that are out there. During my life, all we've had is you got two parties, one godless and one gutless, and that's not going to be your strength. It's going to be God himself. And now he goes on, and he starts getting a little better. Now what's implied in here, it's not spoken much, is about that Mount Zion. It doesn't mention Mount Zion here. But when it's talking about these mountains that are shaken, you know, and it goes on and talks about the city of God. You need to understand the basic belief that the Jews had about Mount Zion. You'll find it in Psalm 125 when it says that they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. See, the Jews understood of Mount Zion, this was their belief, that Mount Zion was the very foundation stone of the earth, that it was the very cornerstone, that it was the one that could not be moved. It was the one that everything was built upon. It's why that the Temple Mount is so sacred in the Jewish religion, is they believe that the sacrifices of their ancestors were on that mountain. I'm not trying to get into the history lesson of it. I'm just trying to tell you about that belief because it's important. Because like everything else that the Jews believed and wrote in their old scriptures in the Old Testament, there's a natural truth, but they fail to look forward to the spiritual truth, because there is an immovable mountain. There is a rock upon which everything is built.
Amen.
There is a stone that will never be shaken.
Amen.
There is a Mount Zion for us. And it really is the gateway between heaven and earth.
Amen.
And that rock, that mountain, is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There is something we can be sure of. There is a real sure foundation. It's not a physical place on earth, but it is Jesus Christ who is our sure foundation. Amen. And I'm talking to the sons and daughters of God this morning. I'm trying to deal with this river because I'm trying to get something to you. I want you to be sure in your foundation in a world that's shaking all around you. You know, it goes on beyond this mountain. It speaks of the city of God. You know, there's a reason the Jews loved Jerusalem so much. It was built on their precious Mount Zion. And that's good, because you know and I know that Jerusalem simply looks forward to the church. And the church is built on our Mount Zion, which is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church.
Amen.
There is no other rock. There is no other church. And if you want to talk about your church, go on out there and talk about it. But I got nothing for it. It's the church of Jesus Christ
Amen.
That I love.
Yes, sir.
Amen. There is a city of God.
Yes,
and the waters that make glad the city of God. I want to go a little further. Those waters don't make the walls happy. Those waters ain't out there to make the buildings happy.
No.
But it's the inhabitants of the city of God that those waters make happy. Can I go ahead and tell you, there is a river. There is a river that makes glad the city of God. I'm feeling pretty good this morning. There's a river that I'm telling you is there to make you glad. Are you glad this morning? Can you sing, oh, say, but I'm glad, so glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, I'm telling you, if you're a child of God, you have all the provisions for your gladness.
Amen.
If you ain't glad this morning, there ain't no reason for you not to be, because there is a river that makes glad the city of God. Amen. I want to tell you something about this river. I'm working my way to where I want to go. I'm telling you, I ain't got but a minute or two when I get there. A river does something for a city. The first thing I'll tell you is a river cleanses a city. A city that don't have any water flow will stagnate and get dirty and just rot on top of itself. But there's a river that comes through that cleanses. There's a cleansing in this river.
Amen.
Oh, yes. The day you look at salvation testimonies, look at your own. I know the day I got saved, the thing that stood out to me so much when I got saved, I couldn't describe what had just happened. But whatever just happened, I was different. I was clean.
Amen.
I was clean.
Amen.
That's right. That river, by the way, let me just go ahead and tell you, that's the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, that's the Holy Ghost right there. There is a river, and it'll clean. It'll clean you. It'll clean you from your sins and iniquities. It'll clean you from your troubles. Oh, yes, it'll wash you clean. Amen. And not only, look, when I was a child, sometimes we'd gather together, and I've got an uncle and aunt here with me. They can tell you it's true. You get a bunch of uncles and aunts and cousins all together, and when the little ones are little, and it comes that night and it's time to wash them all, you don't run a separate tub of bath water for every little bitty thing you got. You just load them up and dunk them and go. And so we'd all take a bath in the same bath water.
Yeah.
And I didn't really care for that, going in there about fourth or fifth in the same bath water. You know, there's something about you want some new water. You want some fresh water. And that, you know, it don't say there's a pond or there's a lake that makes glad the city of God. It says there is a river, and the Holy Ghost is that river that flows. There's still waters and there's living waters. And I tell you, we got a river of living water that makes glad the city of God. There is a river for the children of God. It'll cleanse you of all your sins. It'll cleanse you of all your troubles and all your cares. There's a river for the children of God. Woo, I think I can feel the river this morning. Feels pretty good this morning. I tell you, besides the fact it'll clean you, rivers bring life. Life. One of the reasons it's so important for a river to flow through a city is cities came under siege. Cities had enemies. And the city of God's got enemies too. And they'll come against the children of God. But when there's a river that flows through, you can take refuge inside that city, and that water will bring life. It'll bring life to you individually. It'll bring life to the very fields. You know why the fields are fruitful inside a city? Because there's a river. And if you're going to be fruitful inside the city of God, it's because there is a river. And if you're going to be fruitful at all in your Christian life, you're going to have to drink of the river. You're going to have to get in the river. You're going to have to get in there and get clean. You're going to have to drink of the river. Partake of the river. Because that's the river of life. Of life. Oh, boy, it feels pretty good this morning.
Yes.
Amen. There's a river.
Yes.
And now I want to get to where I want to go to. Big as that river is, if that river flowed right down here, down the middle of that aisle, and you was right here in this city of God, and you stayed all the way over there, it would be pleasant to look at. It would be pleasant to talk about. Might even cool the air around you. But you're not in the river. And I've seen services, and you have too, where the winds blew and the Lord came in. Oh, and it was good and it was pleasant. But you know, everybody didn't get in the river. Everybody won't get in the river. You know, it's easy to go to the banks of the river. We read about this river in the book of Ezekiel. Same river. Same river. And if I get this right, Uncle Joe, there's different depths to that river. And you can get in just a little bit and get the bottom of your feet wet And look, it'll feel pretty good. And you can run, you can kick that water up, and you can feel the breeze blowing off the river, and it'll feel pretty good. And you can go back home and tell people, boy, I felt the Holy Ghost this morning, and you're not lying. You're not lying. But all you did was just barely get right there in the bottom of your feet. You know why people like that? Listen, I'm a people. I'm qualified to talk about people. I am one. You know why we like that? Because you run around in the shallows of the river and you still got control. Do you hear me? You can control. You can run at your own speed. You can kick it up. You can do whatever you want to do, and you got control. That's why people like them little shallows. It feels good, but you still got control. But now if you get on out there a little further and you start getting, let's just get up to our knees in the river. Let's just get up to our knees in the river. Look, it gets harder to walk. You don't move so easy. And now that river will start pushing on you. It'll start making you want to go some way. And it ain't quite as easy to control. Can I tell you, you get out that river to about your knees and you're going to have to start making some decisions. You're going to have to make up your mind. Now, it's a little easier to just go ahead and walk back out and go back home and tell people, boy, I got deep in the river today. Well, maybe compared to yesterday. But, you know, you can make another decision. You can go ahead and just wade out a little bit further. You can just wade on out just a little bit further. Now, if you can make it up to about waist deep in that river, you're going to get to a point in there where it's going to be all you can do to stand on the earth. You're going to get to a point in there where it's going to be do or die. And the decision's now going to get real. Because if you're going to commit to that river, it's going to be different from walking on the banks. It's going to be different from now on. But if you go ahead and go, you're fast going to come to a place, because once you commit, you'll go. You'll go. And you get out there about chest deep, and you're going to get to a point you can't walk no more. You can't walk no more. There's ground under your feet, but you can't walk. And you got one thing that you're going to have to do, and you're going to have to dive in. It speaks of swimming waters. Swimming waters. And if you get in swimming waters, your feet ain't on the ground no more. You are wholly sustained and held up by the river. Holy. And if you swim, I don't care if you start out dog paddling, you will get your head under them waters. And that's what I'm telling you this morning. What I want for you, what I want for me, what I want for all of us as we get in the river. Go out, be immersed, baptized in the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, get in the river. What's wrong? Are you scared? I understand. We're all scared. But get in and swim. Swim where the waters are. Be cleansed. Be whole. Partake of the rivers of living waters. I'm going to tell you, this is the only thing that makes glad the city of God. You will never be glad in anything else. And it don't matter though the earth be removed. It don't matter what happens around you. You get in them waters and swim. And you won't have nothing to worry about. Brother Sims, it's all I got. I know if there is a river that flows from deep within. There is a fountain that cleanses from all sin. Come to these waters. There is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry. Amen.